Future-Proof Extra from Newstalk.
Now, for most of human history, the living body was one of the universe's great black boxes. It was as inaccessible to even the finest scientific minds. You could go to your doctor with a terminal illness, but unless you were showing external symptoms, there wasn't really much they could tell you about what was going on underneath the hood. And that all changed in 1895 when Wilhelm Röntgen discovered the X-ray and so accidentally invented medical physics. So what is medical physics? Well, Dorina Hickey is a medical physicist, so she should be able to answer that. She's at the Beacon Hospital. She joins me now. Hi, Dorina. How are you?
Hi, Jonathan. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. So let's, before we talk about your work in cancer therapy and imaging in so-called linear accelerators, do you want to maybe start off and talk to us a little bit about the story of imaging as best as you can from X-ray to where we are now?
Yeah, sure. So as you were saying there, William Röntgen discovered X-rays in 1895. And since then, they've been used to a huge extent throughout medicine. And, you know, our colleagues who work in particle physics are constantly providing us with new information. And that's often used in medical applications as well. So there's two branches of medical physics, first of all. There's the diagnostic side, which my colleagues in diagnostic radiology work. And I'll talk a little bit about the imaging modalities that they use to diagnose different illnesses. And then I work in the other side, which is the treatment side of these illnesses, particularly treating cancer using a linear accelerator. So the types of imaging modalities that have come out from the discovery of the X-ray is the actual X-ray itself, which we're all used to seeing. It's a 2D image. And what happens is that the X-ray travels through the body and there's a detector placed behind the body. And something like bone absorbs more of the X-ray. So that shows up as white, whereas the lung absorbs less X-rays, and that shows up as black. So what you end up with is a 2D image that's on a grayscale and different tissues absorbing different amounts of radiation.
It's kind of like firing a strong torch through a piece of fabric of different thicknesses. The thicker
exactly.
stuff you see darker, and the lighter stuff is obviously a thinner piece of fabric. Yeah.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah. Now, I mean, this 2D image was great at the start when it was first discovered, but, you know, it has limitations. It's only 2D, and really it's great for diagnosing something like a broken bone. But any more information that you want, you're going to have to look at 3D images.
And so with 3D, we're talking about things like CAT scans and MRIs, and they work in a totally different way, presumably.
Well, CAT scans, CTs, they work exactly the same as X-rays. They're just much more complex. So the X-rays come out in a kind of a fan shape, and then there's multiple X-rays are taken at the same time, and a 3D image is built up of the inside of your body. So a full body scan would be about 100 times the same dose of a 2D X-ray. And that's because there's multiple projections taken. But then again, the great thing about it is that the doctor gets so much more information. They're able to see a 3D reconstruction of the inside of your body. So if you have a heart defect, they can see it. If you have a lung tumor, it's easily seen.
Yeah. And then an MRI, is that a different type of technology?
Yeah. So an MRI is non-ionizing radiation. So it's much safer. It uses magnets. So basically what happens is a magnetic field is applied to water molecules in the body. Your body is mostly made up of water, which consists of hydrogen. So what happens is the protons in hydrogen are flipped by the magnetic field. So they flip from positive to negative, essentially. And then as they relax, once the signal is turned off, they emit a signal. And this signal is picked up by the imaging system. And different soft tissues emit different signals. So this can then show up like a very high resolution image of soft tissue, which you don't get with CT. So the reason that it's great for telling the difference between different parts of the inside of your brain, maybe, where in a CT you can only really see grayscale, in an MRI you can see much more complex structures.
So you work with linear accelerator. This is the other branch of medical physics. What on earth is a linear accelerator? How come I've never heard of this before?
Oddly enough, they're all over the world. We have 35 in Ireland. So linear accelerators are used for cancer treatment all the time. And I suppose what most people talk about when they talk about treatment when they have cancer, and they're talking about it in the context of radiation, is a lot of people say, I'm going for radium treatment. But that's not what we do at all. It's a common misconception. Radium is occasionally used to treat bone cancer now. But years ago, back in the 20s and 30s, that's when radium was really used an awful lot. now one of the main things that's used to treat radiotherapy is a linear accelerator machine. So one of the earliest patients treated with a linear accelerator, for instance, was in 1937. I think this is just an interesting story. Her name was Gunda Lawrence, a woman in Minnesota, and she was given only months to live, but her sons, one was a physicist and one was a doctor, which is, you know, a nice combination. And the physicist had access to the radiation lab at Berkeley, and they had a linear accelerator there, and they decided together to treat her abdomen with radiation. And she actually lived for 22 years afterwards. Now, obviously, doctors nowadays use clinical trials and evidence-based medicine.
They
to
don't
work
just
out
crack
best
into the hospital late at night.
Absolutely. They don't just break in. You know, it's a lot more standardized. But that's really just a good example of, you know, when it really started.
So how does it work and what is it used for?
OK, so the basic design of the LINAC has remained unchanged since around the 50s. And really, it was the invention of the microwave technology during World War II, which allowed for the fast acceleration of the electrons. So what happens is electrons are accelerated through a waveguide at speeds close to the speed of light. The electrons then hit a target, and through the conservation of energy, Bremsstrahlung radiation is produced. And this radiation is then sent through lead collimators and directed towards the patient below. And the idea is that we want double strand or single strand breaks in the DNA. And it's pretty lucky for us that malignant tumors are more sensitive to radiation than normal tissue. So your normal tissue will recover better than a tumor.
When you say you pass radiation down through these, that radiation is a form of energy. Like what? Like heat?
It's like the x-rays that go through your body when you have a planar x-ray image taken, except that this is a much higher energy. So for a planar x-ray, like I was talking about earlier on, you're talking about kilo electron volts. And at this energy, we're talking about mega electron volts. So it's really, really high energy. So as the beam goes through your body, it's absorbed slowly by the healthy tissues. And then it reaches the tumor and continues to be absorbed slowly. And then the radiation continues through your body and goes out the other side. But what we use is multiple beams targeted at the center of the tumor. And that way, then it all collects at the center of the tumor.
Are there other technologies that medical physicists will use in the future to perhaps be more accurate in terms of how they attack something like this, or are there new diagnostic technologies that are on the way?
Absolutely. So the first thing that I'd say is, like, you know, what I really talked about there is your basic LINAC. But in the past 10 years, the machines have changed an insane amount. We've added imaging systems onto them so that we can scan the patient with basically a CT machine just before we treat them. And then using that CT machine, we can localize the tumor better. And when the tumor is localized better, we can go to higher doses. And higher doses means more tumor control. And the reason that we want to go to higher doses but know exactly what we're treating is so that we can protect all of the organs that surround the tumor.
So in the different types of treatments, do you have different doses of radiation? What is that? A more power of radiation? Is that what it is? A more intense x-rays?
Okay, so really there are two different types of treatment. There's the standard fractionation treatment is one, and then we also do radio surgeries. So I'll just talk a little bit about both. So standard fractionation treatment, for example, for a breast patient, they typically come for what's the unit of radiation is gray. So they come for 50 gray, and that's delivered over 25 fractions, and that's 5 days per week. Now, a guy called Claude Rigaud in the 20s discovered that one large dose to a ram's testicles sterilized the ram, but it gave him a really bad skin reaction. However, when he delivered the same dose over a number of days, there was no skin reaction. So that's the idea of fractionation. And that's why we do that when we're treating breast patients and prostate patients.
Right.
So they have fractionated treatment. However, if a tumor is really, really small, we can go to far higher doses because of the additional imaging systems and the improved technology. So something like a lung tumor, we can now treat 60 gray, and that's delivered over 3 days every second day. You know, so we're treating more dose in less than a week than we would with a breast patient,
but
in five weeks.
So these malignant tumors, sometimes they can be quite small though, right? And what if that tumor is on a part of the body that moves a lot, like the lung, for example, or in when a patient's breathing and they have a tumor on their breast, like, is it hard to keep the X-ray where it needs to be?
So again, these imaging systems that have come on board in the last few years allow us to image at certain parts of the breathing cycle and treat at certain parts of the breathing cycle. So we can turn the beam on and off, and that's synchronized with the patient's breathing.
Oh,
so
wow.
For instance, we can just treat a patient when their lungs are empty and when they've breathed out. And that just means that we can treat less healthy tissue.
So what's coming down the line then in 5 or 10 years that will help patients when it comes to medical physics?
One of the most exciting things is in the diagnostic area that I really know about is something called MR-PET. Now, at the moment, we have PET-CT. So it's combining different types of imaging, you know, to utilize the best parts of both and then, you know, kind of get a super imager. At the moment, like I said, we have PET-CT. Now, what PET is, I'll just briefly describe. It's a diagnostic, really a functional form of imaging. And what happens is a radioactive atom, which is attached to glucose or sugar, is injected into the bloodstream. And then to talk about it in terms of cancer, which is like what I know about, tumors really like sugar. So the tracer goes to tumors and is metabolized by tumors. And the radioactive atom is decaying by what's called beta decay, which basically means that a positron is emitted. Now, a positron is a positively charged electron. So it's the antimatter of an electron. And what happens is that the positron travels for about 1 to 3 millimeters and meets an electron, and they annihilate each other, which results in two high energy photons traveling in opposite directions. And they're identical. They're at the same energy.
Right.
So
that'll give
these
you a picture.
Photons. Yeah. So these photons are coming out of the patient. They reach detectors simultaneously, and the detectors can track back to where in the body the positron originated. And this shows up in an image as a really bright area.
It's so complicated. It's insanely complicated to get an image of inside the body. Amazing ingenuity, though.
Exactly. And the big problem with this, though, is that it's a very low resolution image. You can't see the soft tissue. So when that's combined with CT, when they're done at the same time, it's a really powerful tool for localization. But if you combine that with MR, that will be even more powerful again.
And what will that allow us to do that we can't do anything? Is it just reducing the side effects of treating things?
Exactly, yeah. because if we know more information about how small something is or what's nearby, if there's bowel or something, a very sensitive organ that's right beside where we're trying to treat, then we can maximize the dose to the tumor while minimizing everything that's around it. And the better that we can see what's around it, the more we can look after the organ and make sure that it doesn't get too much dose.
What other technologies are on the horizon in terms of therapy, Dorina?
One thing that's, it is used all over the world, but it's not widely used, is proton therapy. And it's similar to what I've just described with LINAC using photons, except that it utilizes protons. They have an electric charge and they're much heavier than electrons. And when they pass through matter, they lose energy quite slowly and then lose most of it at a specific point. It's called the Bragg peak, and that's defined by the energy of the proton itself. So it's kind of like slowing your car down when you brake suddenly and you get a bit of a jerk. The energy is all deposited at a certain point. So while going through the body, the surface tissues receive a low dose, and then at the depth of the tumor, you hit the Bragg peak and the beam stops. And the proton energy can be tuned to the depth of the tumor.
Right.
So there's no more radiation then deposited after this point. So it's really useful for treating children who have cancer, or maybe cancer that's really, really close to a very sensitive organ, and to protect the organ that's kind of beyond it.
So you can be sort of laser precise in terms of how you're delivering this radiation.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an incredibly expensive machine. I mean, our linear accelerators that we have all over Ireland can achieve very similar to what you can achieve for a lot of things. But proton therapy excels in certain very complex situations. And then another very interesting one is called flash radiotherapy, where an ultra fast delivery in literally in seconds of very high dose of radiation will be used. And that the hope is that will be able to protect all of the organs surrounding. much better than we can do at the moment.
That was really interesting. Medical physicist from the Beacon Hospital, Doreena Hickey. Thanks very much.
Thanks very much, Jonathan.